Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw pearl before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The Gospel of the Lord. In his last few installments of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is summarizing, synthesizing, trying to put into one place all that he's taught us before in this great Magna Carta of Christian morality, in which he sets clearly before us his standards, which surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees and of the virtuous pagan, and promises us God's help so that we will be able to meet those standards. Tomorrow, because of the Feast of John the Baptist, we won't hear his image about bearing good fruit from a good tree. What Jesus has been doing this entire time has been fortifying that tree so that it can naturally bear fruit, because we'll be attached to him. And on Thursday, the church will ponder Jesus' summary image of building our whole life on the rock of his word. Anything else is quicksand. Today, he gives us three images which likewise synthesize everything he teaches. First is, don't give what's holy to dogs, or throw your pearl before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. What does he mean here? His word is an incredible treasure that we must guard as a treasure. We don't put diamonds in a toilet. We don't put artistic masterpieces in a doghouse. We treasure them and treat them right. How do we treat the word of God? Do we respond to it as an incredible gift? I use a lot that image of St. Jerome from the early church about how every word that comes from God's mouth is a real treasure. The Didache, written about 80 AD, had used this passage to describe our approach to the Holy Eucharist, that we should never throw the Eucharist before swine, before those who are not yet sons, before those who can't receive Jesus in Holy Communion. St. Jerome, basing himself on that, said, you know, if a piece of the Holy Eucharist fell to the ground, we'd all be diving lest someone inadvertently step on Jesus and objectively commit a sacrilege without knowing. St. Jerome said, while we would do that with regard to Holy Communion, do we do it with regard to God's Word? How many words of God do we just let bounce off hardened soil so that the devil can come and immediately take it away? First thing Jesus wants us to do as a result of what we've been hearing about these last 13 daily masses is to ponder whether we're treating it like a treasure and guarding it as a treasure. Second image, do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. In other words, everything taught by Jesus up until now, not to mention taught by the prophets up until now, can be summarized in what we call the Golden Rule. At the United Nations, you have the beautiful Norman Rockwell mosaic, based on his painting, of the people from all over the world coming into one family, and underneath it, Rockwell put, do to others whatever you would have them do to you. And you'll hear these UN guides say, this is common to all religions. No, it ain't. What's common to all religions is what we would call the silver rule. Don't do to others what you would not want them to do to others. Don't harm, lest you be harmed. Don't judge, lest you be judged. Jesus was saying something much greater. Before someone does something to you, do good, just like you would like to receive good. It's easy for people not to harm others. Much harder to love others according to Jesus' standards. We really need God's grace for that. And there's a Pacific Ocean between the two. It's that great a gap. Everything Jesus has been teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount has been changing from a morality of thou shalt not to a morality that gets to the real core of a person to see if that person's truly loving God and truly loving neighbor. To do good to those who do evil to us, to pray for those who curse us, to love those who make themselves our enemies. It's all based on this positive giving of ourselves over to others, to create a culture of similar self-giving. If we wish to live in a culture of love, we must start by making it. This is the great aphorism of St. John of the Cross. If you don't find peace, put peace and you'll find peace. If you don't find love, put love and you'll find love. If you don't find something good, start. Don't start looking all over the place for it. Begin with yourself. Insert it into the circumstance with God's help. And then slowly, that culture will form. Are we doing that? When we look at the things we would ordinarily complain about, are we cursing or are we changing the circumstance? Little by little, drip by drip, changing our environment as leaven. That's what Jesus wants. That's where all the law and the prophets was pointing. That's what's underneath every one of his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. The last of the three images we have today, enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those entering it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. What's Jesus saying here? The vast majority of people are not treating his word as a treasure, are not following him on that golden road. Ultimately, Jesus' morality would be what we could call the platinum rule. Not just loving others so that they might love us, but loving others as Jesus has loved us. And it's not a popular path. It's a narrow uphill way of the cross, but it is the one that leads to life. Jesus is asking us, which road are we on? Are we on that constricted path that's life-giving? Are we entering into him who is the gate? Or are we doing what everybody else does, having safety in numbers? The words of Cardinal Ratzinger from December of 2000 resonate here when he talks about real conversion. Real conversion is not just a minor course correction in our life, but it's recognizing I am not whom I'm supposed to be. And that we turn to Jesus who says, I am that way. I am the way to life. And we begin to make him our life. The true conversion is a death and a resurrection in which we adopt Christ's way of life as our own. Today in the first reading, we see King Hezekiah's response to the threats of King Sennacherib of Assyria. Assyria had been devastating so many other places, including the kingdom of Israel in the north, the kingdom of Samaria in the central part of the Holy Land. And he was coming after Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah in the south. He sent very threatening emissaries. He had already backed it up. But as Hezekiah was one of the few really good kings after David. And Hezekiah, having received those threats, went straight to God. He was going to base his life on the Lord's word. He was going to choose that narrow path that most others wouldn't, because they look at things politically rather than theologically. Hezekiah prayed in the temple before the Lord, and the Lord chose Isaiah to deliver him the news, not to be afraid, that God himself would be there. And we see what happened. 185,000 of Sennacherib's soldiers died, and Sennacherib withdrew. The Lord's salvation comes along that narrow path, each step of which is indicated by Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Today at Mass, we come to treasure every word that comes from his mouth, to treat it as a pearl of great price, worth more than all the kingdoms of the world. It's here at Mass that Jesus strengthens us to live his way, to do unto others as he has done to us, and make our life an enfleshment of the words of consecration, doing this, loving like this in Jesus' memory. And it's here each day that we meet him who is the narrow gate, as he embraces us and takes us into the kingdom. This is the means by which we bear fruit. This is the way we build ourselves on the rock, so that no matter what storms come, we remain firm into eternity.